So last week we learned about a couple of different aspects of Pasachim, about Paspalter, what the extreme when you are permitted to do Paspalter, even when one is not going to assume that one can always eat it, but if you have it's easier to get it, or if it's better to get it, or it tastes better, or it's cheaper, so one would be permitted to do Paspalter even according to the Mechaber. Okay, so this week we're going to do Sifvav. So on the back of we're going to start with the Beis Yosef on the back of Vav. Those are the halachos of what if it's more than just pas, meaning you have a little bit of a problem. If we assume that pas akum is permissible because of two problems. One is a conceptual problem, and that is if pas akum is permissible only because it is you need it, it's chai nefesh, you need it in order to live, well, what about things that things that are a little off-bread, we'll call it. So the big example is pas vav kisnin, right? Cookies. Things that are needed with things other than water, or things that have other types of foods that are inside of it. So is that kula going to extend to those? Now we've already learned that it could be the whole chumra never got off the ground. It could just be that there's no chumra at all. But it doesn't seem to be the way most Rishonim were learning. Most Rishonim learned that there is a chumra and we just decide to be makel on it. Well, okay, how makel will you go? And furthermore, what if there is foods that are a mixture? Some of it is bread and some of it is not bread. So the part that's not bread, what would be the big deal? The only asr pasakum. Well, there's another problem called bishalakum, right? There's a prohibition of bishalakum. So there's a little bit of a problem. Where does pasakum end? Where does bishalakum begin? And there's chumras and kulas of each. So what if you have a food that has both? You have a food that's partly bread and partly other food, and it's mixed together. So is the chumra of bishalakum then set in? Meaning, does the kula of paspalter, right? The kula that will allow you down in the bakery, allow a kula when it comes to something that's not necessarily bread, something that's another ingredient that's being mixed in. So there's two statements that the Beis Yosef has. Because of these new versions of the Beis Yosef, if you can track them down, they're about two pages apart. But because of the convenience of computers, we could put them right next to each other. And that is as follows. So the first one says, Zeh Lashono Harash. Right, mashkasev gam eno chashiv liosvam mishum bishul goyim. You don't have to worry about bishul akum. So he says this is the language of the Rush. The Rush is a chuv. We actually did this already in the first week. Da ki ein bo mishum pas shel goyim. The top thing, the top section is not a problem of pas akum. She eno bechal pas tam. She asur chacham mishum chasnus de eno chashiv. Right, that if it's not bread. It's not going to be a problem, and it's not going to be chashuv enough for it to be any other problem.
I'm sorry,
you have the wrong thing. The top paragraph here. Zel shonu harush b'tshuva kal yates simon chafal.
Zel shonu harush.
I read the first. Oh, sorry. The Dibur Maso, and then parentheses are all backwards as usual. Right. So Daki Ein Bo Mishum Pashal Gaim She Einu Bechal Pastam. Right. She Asu Chacham and Mishum Chasnos. The Einu Chashiv VaFilu BeBishulei Gaim Im Einu Olav Shulchan Melachim Mutter. So if it's not considered bread, such that it's going to be aser, and it's not considered. It's not going to be considered bishul akum either if it's not olal shulchan malach. I mean, these other types of materials that could be used for bread. So if it's not of the five grains, it's not going to be a problem of pas akum, and it's not going to be a problem of bishul akum either because it's not olal shulchan malach. It's not fit for a king's table. Umasha midvar, the Beis Yosef continues, she'im hu olal shulchan malachim, if it was right for shulchan malachim, aser mishum shlakos would be prohibited like shlakos are. What are shlakos? Shlakos is this some kind of food, some kind of wheat-based food that's mixed with other types of ingredients. Delo gari fneishu hu asui pas v'zen nirabara, we're not anymore makel with it just because it's made of bread. V'zen nirabara, that seems to me like it should be clear. That seems to me like it should be clear that if it is olal shulchan malachim and it's not one of those five grains, so then it's going to be prohibited.
If it's not one of the five grains,
it's not going to be pasakum, right? Pasakum means that there's a chumra and a kula involved, right?
Prohibited if it's
olal shulchan malachim, it's going to be us because of bishul akum. Right? Now, when it's interesting, when you say, oh, you declare something pasakum, so there's a chumra and a kula, right? The chumra is, if you're makban on pasakum, you're going to be makban on that. Right? The kula is that then you're entitled to the kula of paspalter, even if it's totally cooked by a non-Jew, right? The prohibitions of bishul akum, in that case, would fall away. Okay, that's paragraph A. Paragraph B that he has, and that's, again, a couple pages later, so he states as follows. More than a few, 6 pages later in my edition. So, pas shel goyim shenilush bebeitzim. Let's say you have non-bread that was kneaded with eggs. So, king kasu betosos, v'harash v'haran, right, v'harash b'toros abayis, dikikaros shel palter goy. Let's say you have a bread that was cooked by a non-Jewish baker, shenilush bebeitzim, that was kneaded with egg. So, shari. So it's permissible. If it's kneaded with egg, it's permissible. Why? What are we concerned about? If we're going to be concerned about that there is blood in the eggs, so most of the eggs that we see don't have dam in them. If you're concerned that he mixed in eggs from a non-kosher bird, so we don't find that we have non-kosher birds that are hanging out in our area. And if you're going to be concerned about bishul gayim, kimcha ikar, in that case, the dough is the ikar. Uvamakum shenagu heter bepashal palter sharu. And if you're going to mati, if you're placed where they're makel about baker's bread, pas palter, right, so then it's going to be permissible. Umashva dehu adin imayu habitzim tochen al pene hapas. He says, mashva, this is, I think, the base Yosef. Maybe it's the Rashba. This is the Rashba writing that even if the egg was like sitting on top of the bread, meaning you had like an egg on top. Now we'll see. It's a big issue. What do you mean, egg on top?
Distinguishable.
Right. So how distinguishable does it have to be? So that's an issue. But if the egg is somehow separate a little bit, so the Rashba even says that would be okay. V'chein kasu arashba. That's what the Rashba says. Umiyu in panadta. Right, in panada sha'afa goy, if you have this other type of food which the goy cooks, and what is that? So it sounds like it's some kind of bread that has like a filling, or has something that's a clear separation, a clear filling. So that the goy baked, aser lechol mea pashal, so then it would be prohibited to eat from its bread. Because why? Because if it's got this whole big mixture of other types of things, so that's no longer a simen kuf yud beis issue, that's a kuf yud gimel issue. What does it mean that it's a kuf yud gimel issue? It's now in the realm of bishul akum. It's now something that's a non-bread issue, it's now a different issue, it's bishul akum, and you got to worry about it for that. Okay, so that is our question as we turn to the Shulchan Aruch itself. Right? So we have three things that have been mentioned here. Number one is egg that was kneaded in. Number two is egg that's kind of sitting on top. And three is egg or some other type of filling, but I think in pandada is an egg, that there is, or shuman is some kind of oil, if it's something fat, something that, well, not fat, fat would be a problem, but if it's oil, something that's separate from the bread, something that's like in pockets or something throughout the bread. Okay, so those are the three things, and that's what we consider as we turn to Shulchan Aruch Sif Vav. So, here we go. So, b'makom shenagu heter b'paschal palter. So now you're in paspalter land, right? You're in a place everybody's making on it. So afilu hi nulish b'beitzim, even if it is kneaded with beitzim, oh shebeitzim tochen al panav mutter. Or you have the eggs that are sitting on top, so we're going to call that mutter. About aval, I think that's a base. Aval in panda sha'afa ove kolchavim aser lechol me'apashala. If you have in panda that was cooked by the non-Jew, so then you're not permitted to eat from its pas. Okay, so this is just the mechaber. Now, if you take a look at the Ramah, I didn't put it in the Darkei Moshe anyways, the Darkei Moshe quotes from other Rishonim that disagree with that kula. I mean, the Rashba said, if it's egg kneaded into the wheat, into the flour, that's okay. And it seems to me, even if the egg is not totally kneaded in, but somewhat separate, that's also okay. So comes the Ramah and says, V'yesh osterim, there's some that are aster, but pas shebeitzim tochen al panim, mishum shehein be'ein, ve'einam betelim legabe pas. Why? Because it's be'im, it real, it exists. this, and it's not batel, it's not nullified into the bread. And if that's the case, so then you run into the prohibition of bishul akum, because you have this other type of, you have these eggs on top that are no good. I believe, although I forgot to, I didn't have a chance to check this up, I believe egg is by definition on the list of things that is raw, that is fit for bishul akum, right? I think it's beferish that eggs are a bishul akum issue. Okay, so with that in mind, So, first of all, why is there a distinction? I mean that in the Mechaber himself, so the Mechaber again distinguishes, right? Distinguishes between the egg on top versus kind of an egg that's separate. Let me read you what the he gives you a definition here about what impada is. Let's read what impada is.
I think we've had it before. It's some kind of pocket.
In pade he pas kafula shemashimim besocha chatichus shuman chai. Right, it is it's some kind of pocketed bread that they put inside it shuman chai. Shuman is fat. Yeah, they put fat inside of it, but raw like
fat.
What?
Raw fat.
Raw fat. So it's, I guess it's not a problem of lechem basar, because it's clearly made in another way, I guess, right? But it's some kind of fat that's put inside of it, right? Like, you okay? Yeah.
Well, if it's raw, then it's not bishul akum, right?
No. By the time it's baked, it's no longer raw. I mean, they put it raw in, and then that's why they bake it.
So they bake it. Okay.
And then he says, "V'zeh nikra b'lashon haposkim." Pandish or pashtida. So those we've come across. Those types of food. We should have like a Talmudic food kiddush. I've had this idea for a while. What?
Anybody?
I don't know. The kusach will be, you know, for sale. The kusach will be relegated to the chickpeas. You know, like the chickpeas out of Shalom Zachar. We'll put the kusach over there. And different types of beer could be on. Whatever.
We get date beer these days.
I haven't had a good date beer in a while. Yeah, so v'hapas atzma. Sorry, I'm reading in this thing here. And the bread itself has idea of full bread. So it's bread with this other thing that's inside of it. So he points out here that there's really two chidushim that the Mechaber is saying. So he's saying, first of all, this food that is inside, the shuman inside of it, is going to be a problem of bishul akum, right? That it's not the same as being absorbed in, and it's also not going to be batel. Right, it's not nullified because it's something that's fully existent within it. That's chiddush number one. Chiddush number two, he adds in. If you look carefully at the language of the Mechaber, really, he's just quoting from the Rashba himself. He says, "Aval in pada sha'afa ove kochavim aser lechol mehapas shela." Not just is the shuman inside going to be a problem, but it even goes ahead and asers the bread. Meaning, you have bishul akum. The bishul akum gets absorbed into the bread. So that itself, and we'll see, that's a big machlokas later on. Is that what do you do with the blios of these kinds of things? Right, these things that are really suri durabanan. So what's the status of things that are absorbed from it? What's the status of the kalim? What's the status of no same time versus no same time, etc. So the Mechaber is clearly saying here that even though it's a minority, and that it also is a question, right? Are these things batel b'shishim or are they batel b'rov? Right? So the Mechaber is clearly saying that it's batel b'shishim and it's going to be a problem because you have these things fully existent on the inside. Why is it different than the egg that is sitting on top of the bread? Why is that okay while the impada is not okay? So for that he gives two possibilities. Reasons. Number one is that it's considered a guf echad. It's really considered one thing. When you have the egg sitting on top, so like you see that with like challah and stuff, right? There's like egg on top. It's part of the food, even though it's not kneaded together. It's part of the same food. And the second reason he gives is that it's not necessarily a separate food, but rather it's only lenoi ulmara bilvad. It's not really a food. I wouldn't call it a food. It's really just to make the other thing look better. So what's the nafkami between those two reasons? So in the Sefer here, the Chalukas Binyamin, again, two possible reasons. Number one, that it's that it's considered gufef, not that we just look at it as if it's one food. And the second possibility is it's only for the way it looks, not for the way it tastes. You don't really taste that egg sitting on top. So what's the nafkamina? So if you have something that's very minute, but actually is clearly there for taste, that you clearly do taste it. So he gives the example here of like little fish things or something. If you put in little fishalach, I don't know. Have you ever heard of this? No. But that would be a nafkamina. I mean, that's clearly something that is there for the taste, and clearly it might, but not necessarily wouldn't necessarily be considered distinct from the bread.
Raisins, chocolate chips. I mean, a lot of things.
Right. But I'm not sure any of those things would be a problem with bish. I mean, he's trying to find something that would be a bishalakum problem, right? All those things, chocolate chips, raisins, are all nechal kmoshu chai, which is also one of the kulas by bishalakum. That if it would be edible when it was raw, then you don't have a bishalakum issue. So he's trying to.
Chocolate chips? I don't know. Okay. But they're cooked in the first place.
Oh, okay, they're already cooked, because they have to have enough sugar in it. Okay. Right. So he didn't put in chocolate chip challah for several reasons. If you have these little fish, the fish need to be cooked, so that would be the issue. The Ramah again disagrees with this. The Ramah says that if the egg is separate, so then you're going to have a problem of vishalakim. So it's interesting, by the way. Here we see a chumra of the Ramah, which we haven't seen too many of, right? From Kuf Yud Beis till Kuf Chaf or so, the Ramah is more makil than the Machaber, as opposed to what we've been learning so far. So here you see a chumra of the Ramah. But then the Ramah comes with a very, very, very important kula. And he says, V'chei Nira. Before we get to that kula, let's just fill in the shachs. The main thing is a taz, right? Where the taz, oh no, we're not up to the taz. The taz is the next section. But the shach here says in tesvav. Oh, the shach in tesvav is really quoting that Rashba, right? We're not concerned about the dam and the dam and the eggs, and we're not concerned that the eggs are from something else. He quotes the Rashba. Tetzayin. Also, don't worry. Yudzayin. What is it? The shach says in Yudzayin. V'yishpem bishum bishuli ovikolchavim. He says v'dami l'shlakos. The lo nago had to bishum makom. Right? It's like the shlakos where there's no kula. I mean, we have a wheat-based food that's quoted in the Gemara as being a problem of bishalakum. So he's saying that if it's too far away from being bread, so what do we call that? We call that the shlakos clause. Right? And if you qualify for the shlakos clause, so then you're in the bishalakum category, as opposed to the Pasachim category. Okay, but then the Ramah turns around, back in the Ramah, and he says, V'chei Noagim, okay, V'chei Noagim, that's our minute. V'osa Nilush, right, the third line down, first word on the line, V'osa Nilush Shekorin Kichlich, right, those types of kneaded things that are called Kichlich, Omine Metika, or sweet things. So what are Kichlich Omine Metika? So here in the Chalkas Binyamin says, you know what we call those? Cakes and cookies, right? So what about cakes and cookies? Shekorin lakoch, heim bechlal pas. Those are actually included in being bread. Uve makom shenoagim heter bepas shel ovikochavim gam hin mutarin. Right, in a place where you would call it a heter of where people are makil about pas palter, they would be makil about all of the cakes and the cookies as well. Now, I am somewhat stuck as to how you mean. I understand if you have a pound cake, or if you have a chocolate cake, or you have cakes like those. What about if you have a cake with something else, jelly? I don't know if a jelly middle would count as a bishalakum problem. But so if you could figure out some other type of ingredient that goes in the middle, I'm not sure how you distinguish between this and the other categories of things that we've spoken about. But here, this is what's always quoted to say, that all the cakes and cookies are okay. This Ramah, right? V'lo amrina, we don't say sheyesh ben mishum bishalakum. We don't say there's a problem with bishalakum. V'yesh mine nilush shekorin kichlik. There are types of cookies that are called kichlik. She'ofen osam al barzelim umushchim habarzel bishalakum. There are some of these cookies that are cooked with, like, you know, on grills that have, like, you know, pig fat on it and stuff, right? So those you should probably avoid, right? That's much worse than the bishul akum problem. But as long as you can, as long as you have hashkacha, right, as long as you make sure that there's nothing non-kosher going in, you don't have a problem with bishul akum, nor do you have a problem with pas, if you're making on pas palter, you don't have a problem with bishul akum, even though there are other ingredients besides just bread. So that's the big, that's the famous Ramah, and from what I understand, everybody, you know, that, not just everybody, but those that are making on pas palter are part, are making on cookies, cakes, and all the, and all those other types of things as well. The why is that? So the Taz gives you the clue. The Taz in Sivav, on the top left, says why. Kevundi kava layu su'uda mevarech hamotzi hamotzi. That if you would be koveya su'uda on these kinds of things, you would make hamotzi on it. Imkein dinam kapas mamish. Therefore, the laws are like pas mamish. Where does the Taz get that from? So go to the front door, I don't know if you want to call it the front door, the back of your page, and go to the second source down. Tosfos, in the, towards the, in the middle of Masechus Beitza, when it's discussing what could be used for an Eruv Tashilin. So it talks about things that were made by non-Jews. And at the end of a somewhat lengthy Tosfos, not that long of a Tosfos, but a decent-sized Tosfos, he states the following. Dinim Yesh... Oh.
Va'osan...
Yeah, but don't worry about that. Go to the second paragraph. It says, "Va'osan nailush midulomar varchin alayhu birchas hamotzi yesh behem mishum bishul nakrin." He says, if you have things that are needed, right, that you don't make a bracha of hamotzi on them, so then you make the then you have a problem with bishul akum. So that opinion almost seems like it's saying that all these cookies and cakes would be a problem with bishul akum. But then ilmihu omer Rav Yechiel, dein behem bishum bishul nachum, that you don't have a problem with bishul akum, came in the derech afias pas avid luhu, because they are made in the same way as bread. Va'od di kavasu daisu alayu, that if you're koveya suda on them, mevarek Berchas Hamotzi, you make a bracha Hamotzi on them, therefore they're really considered bread. Right? So there's three categories that this goes to Hilchos Brachos and Hilchos in Orachayim. There's three categories of things that qualify for Pasach, for Pasach Babakistan. Number one, if it's kneaded with sugar or other types of ingredients. Number two is if it's folded around some type of filling on the inside. And the third is if it's baked in a hard way. Right, so all of those are considered pasuk b'vakisnin. It's machlokas what a pasuk b'vakisnin are. We pasuk like all three, right? That all of them are considered pasuk b'vakisnin, and all of them, if one would be koveya suda on them, you would watch and you would bench. So that means, and I don't have a shear. I mean, in the brachos book, it gives a shear, but I don't know that if you eat pretzels for lunch, you would wash and bench on it.
But more than that, it says you make a motzi.
And make a motzi. You would wash, make a motzi.
Well, that's tricky because you may not know how much you've been eating.
Right, so what's the shear on that? And what do you call me? So I'm wondering, so what's considered a meal? Right, so I go home after diving one day and I have two cookies, and that's my breakfast. So does that mean that that was my meal? I mean, what, just because the National Health Board says you should have three meals a day, and that's what's qualifying as my breakfast, so that means I was koveya suda on it? So I don't know. I that's like been in the back of my mind for a possible research topic. If you look at the Brachos book, it gives some shirim, which aren't very large, right? But that doesn't seem to be the minhag that, like, oh, you know, you have a cookie for breakfast, right? So when we have the Daf Yomi seems, right, and and people have two cookies after davening, right? You should wash the bench unless you go home and having. And they say, oh, this isn't my suit. But if you, yeah, this is my breakfast, right? You have two cookies, that's enough for breakfast. Kiddush!
You're supposed to have two cookies, or at least two crackers.
Right, alright, right. So.
Nobody does.
Right, so nobody does. But so, I don't know. But in theory, you could.
Yeah, but you gotta have a mind to go home and eat.
Yeah, but.
So what? If it's a shear, it's a shear. I mean, if it's an objective measurement, it's an objective measurement. Right? How do I define my koveya suda? So it either goes with das, in which case, when do I call? You know, let's say I'm driving someplace. Right, I'm not going to have time to eat lunch, so I grab a bag of pretzels. So does that mean I was koveya suda because that's what I ate in the middle of the day, or like that's not a meal? That's a bag of pretzels. So I haven't been able to come to any type of conclusion on that. But Either way, right, so we have this machlokas and tosos as to what excludes something from being bishul akum. Number one is you wash and bench on it, or two, you possibly under some circumstances could wash and bench on it. Right? So how do we paskin? So it seems like we paskin like Rabbeinu Yechiel, right? That if there's a possibility that you could wash and bench on it, so then it would be exempt from bishul akum because it would fall under the category of pasakum. Okay, so that's the big cool of the Ramah. So that leads to a couple of other things which we'd like to discuss. So number one, if you take a look at the Shach in Sif Yud Ches. So the Shach says, Shikor and Kichlich. So the Shach puts the brakes on a little bit. He says, Dafka Shabalilas Ava. We would only say this if it is a thick dough. Right, v'yish behen toar lechem, and it looks like bread. Kolkach king kasa b'toras chata sham din yud beis. Right, that looks like bread. It looks like a dough. What's blila ava versus blila raka? So blila ava is dough that you set, like when you have a cookies, right? And you place cookies on a cookie sheet. So that's pas ava, or dough from challah is pas ava, and a blilas raka is when you pour. It's like a batter that you pour in.
Thank you.
Pancakes or like the Duncan Hines stuff, right? So the Lila Av is considered more bready, at least according to the Shach.
So then where's thin crust pizza fit into this?
What?
Thin crust pizza.
Why thin crust pizza?
Well, there's thin crust pizza, there's steak pizza.
Yeah.
So is that what we're talking about? I mean, thinner stuff and thicker stuff?
No, we're talking about the batter. Blila Ava and Blila Raka are technical terms. Right. That's the Shach makes this chiluk.
Can we go back to the shiur again? When I was in school, the what went out was that if you're going to have more than two slices of pizza, you should wash.
Right?
Now, two slices of pizza, even not thick pizza, but I mean, that's more than two cookies or three cookies or four cookies.
Right.
That's it, right? And if they're saying you don't wash and bench on that, it would seem to me that the shear must be pretty decent.
Right. So I have to look at that shuva again. Right? That's a shuva from Moshe. Right? That Rav Moshe said that, well, Chiddush A is that pizza is possible to kiss it. Hold on. That pizza is pasul b'kisnin. So assuming that it's pasul b'kisnin, so then he scratched his head. And he said, okay, so what's considered kviyas suda? So he said, one slice is a snack. Two slices is a meal. Right? I think that's what that shuva says.
Three slices.
Right?
Three.
What?
Three slices.
He says, no, that's only the Philadelphia slices. I think he says two or three. I think he says if you eat two or three slices, then it's a meal. I mean, if you're eating it. So he's saying, it depends if you consider it. If you consider it your lunch, you would wash and bench. If you don't consider it your lunch, you wouldn't. Right? So that gives rise to the idea that it's not a sheer, but rather it's subjective to what people think. Now, just with that separately, well, Pussy brought it up. So we want to talk to Rav Shechter about it. Rav Shechter said the following line. He said, I don't think Rav Moshe Feinstein actually knew what pizza was. He said, I think that it's a bread. He said, for me, it's a bread sandwich. Unless you need it with other types of things, so fine. But I think I remember when I once looked into this in Phoenix, I called up the pizza store. I said, tell me something. Do you put any other ingredients into your pizza dough besides flour and water? They said, no, Rabbi. You got to wash and bench on every slice. Okay, thanks for passing the shiloh. So he said it's a cheese and sauce sandwich. So therefore, he assumed that you would wash and bench on even if you have a
for
tiny
single
amount.
Slice.
For single slice, he said it's bread. He said you don't if you eat half a slice of ripe bread, you're not gonna you know it's bread. So it's bread. So you would have to wash and bench on it. Okay, so anyways, so the Shach makes this chiluk, but according to what we were saying before, that the psak in this Shulchan Aruch is going according to the Rabbeinu Yechiel, right? So then it makes it difficult to understand the Shach. Where are you getting that distinction from, right? Because if you would have a blila ava, blila raka, if you would have a cake that came from a batter, right, and you would be koveya suda on the cake that came from a batter, would you wash and bench? Yes. Right? So if the basis is, would you, is there a scenario where you would wash and bench on that food? If yes, it's considered pas, right? So what should it matter whether it's a blila av or a blila rakas? So that's what many ask on this shach, right? Including the chelkas. But Yamini seems to not side with that shach. Okay, just to move on to other foods, there are other shilas as well that fall into these categories. If you go to the back of the page, so Rav Moshe has a tshuva about bagels, which I brought the wrong volume. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva about bagels, right? He named the davar ha bagel, right? Sheba ode isa, no sin osuva mayim rochim. So what do you do with bagels? So bagels are boiled. Right, and then they're baked, or they're baked and then they're boiled. Right, I think they're boiled.
Yeah, they're boiled when they're still done.
They're boiled. Right, first they're boiled and then they're baked. So that's is that considered baking? I mean, for something to be okay, something to get the paspalter exemption. First of all, he's assuming that bagels are roiling the shulchan malachim, right? Okay. So I agree. So once we assume that, so if it's roiling the shulchan malachim, then it has to be made by. If it's roiling the shulchan malachim, so then it has to be considered bread. So is bread only defined by baking it, or is even boiling it considered bread? So he says. So Rav Moshe says, "V'davar b'agel shabu the isa nosu sava mayim rochim ba'achar kach olfen osam." And afterwards they baked them b'tanur. So yish b'ze iser bishul akum. So is there a problem there of bishul akum? So pashut l'fiyah nias dais mikim and shabishul ksas ayudei hamayim rochim haisa iser ruuya la'achila lo nesra mitzad bishul akum. That since it is cooked a little bit in the water, in the hot water, so the isa is then fit to be eating. It's not a problem of bishul akum. Umitzad afia heim rak bedin pas akum shel palter shenogim lahatir afim makum shepas yisrael matzui. And in terms of its bake, so he said it's not a problem of bishul akum. And second of all,
I'm not sure I follow the reason why it's not bishul akum.
Yes, yeah, so he has not explained it yet. Shabishul ksas ayidei hamayim rochim haisa haisa ruuya la. Low nest or mitzad bishul akum.
Can you eat it after it's boiled and done?
So he says that it is. It's somewhat royal achila at that point. But the problem is he's giving the opposite.
that
would make it worse, well, right? In theory, yeah. He sounds like he would make it worse.
Right.
So it's not a problem of bishul akum. I would have thought that he would have said afal pi someplace in there. Hold on, let's continue on. In terms of the baking, it's not a problem of pasakum, shel palter, shenogim lahatir, that we're making on that, even where there's Jewish bread available, like we pass on like the Ramah and Sif Beis, like we learned 2 weeks ago, came and the Shach holds like that, b'shem Ramah, Tereskat, it's fine. The Gam came in Shebegel, Kosev, like Ketra is the person who writes it. Shalom matzui shel Yisrael after pas achar matzui. That also bagels are what? But bagels aren't available. The Jewish bagels apparently aren't available, right? Even though there's other bread available from the Jews, neshav lo matzui. It's still considered. It's not found, right? Mutter af lahamachaber k'tiisa b'sifdal b'im pas paltera akum hu yaf mishal Yisrael. Right? Oshum min akum itam dekim dezayis anoch. So he goes on to say that a bagel is considered unique, and even if there is Jewish bread available, if there aren't Jewish bagels available, so one could eat. It's hard to imagine, right? But one can eat the one could buy the pas palter bagels even if you want to be machmer like the machaber and only purchase pas palter when there's no pas Yisrael available. Fine. Now you're right. He does have a problem here. We have a problem here. Truth is, what he means by this here? Mikavan shebishul ksas ayidei mayim rochim haisai iser uya lachila lo nes from mitzad bishul akum. So when Rosh is. Truth is, now I think I understand what's going on. in the back. This tshuva is quoted in the eighth volume of Igros Moshe, which is not the one I wrote, right? In the eighth volume of Igros Moshe, so he has another tshuva, he talks about bagels there again. And there's a star on the bottom that says, Ein Chelek Revi Beha Introduction. So I took a quick look there, and I think what he was saying there is that Rav Moshe sometimes put addendums into what was earlier written in the Shulchan Aruch. And there, in Chelek Ches, which are the more corrected version, so he adds up, he talks about the idea that that a bagel is considered pas, that a bagel is considered bread, that even if it is boiled, right, it's baked later on, and when you look at it, it's considered bread. And if you look at the book and it's considered bread, so then it's roy for the kula of pas palter. There is a problem here with this line. Hopefully maybe next week we can figure out how I'll try to come back with an answer as what exactly, how exactly to read that line as to how it's making. In the Sefer Chelka, okay, sorry, I apologize for that missing link there. In the Sefer Chelka's Binyamin, he gives a second teretz, and that is that in the laws of Bishul Akum, which we'll learn in Mishnah Shem, I don't know, it's a month or so. So in the laws of Bishul Akum, we have the following law. What happens if a non-Jew cooks it to Michael ben Drusai, and then a Jew comes and takes over and cooks the rest of it? So Michael ben Drusai, we'll remember from our Bishul Shabbos days, right, is the minimum amount that is considered cooked. So what if he cooks it to that, and then a Jew takes over and cooks it the rest of the way? So is that considered Bishul Akum or not? He says, and there he's Mekel. There we are Mekel on that Shaila. So Mechelkas Binyamin says, it should be the same thing here, right? He boils it. It might be Roy Lachila Ktsas, but that's not Roy Lachila. That's like the Neifel Ben Jusai amount. That's like a minimal amount. And if a Jew comes and does the rest of it, then it's okay. So in this case, instead of a Jew coming and taking it the rest of the way, who do you have coming and taking it the rest of the way? The Palter. You have the baker. But the baker is the one that made it the most edible, so then it still can qualify.
I think you can read that interpretation into the words.
Okay. I would prefer an afalpi or afilu in there. That's my problem. Okay, and then finally, the last shaila he has in the Sefer Chelkas. Oh, sorry, I put that on the front also. So this is a copy from the Sefer Chelkas Binyamin. So he raises on the right side, which is a little easier to read. On the right side, he talks about donuts. All right, so what about donuts? Are donuts considered pas? Or are donuts considered not pas? So he says just towards the bottom. There it is. So the bottom skinny line where he says aval im bishlan otignon b'mashke. Let's say you cook it or you fry it in liquid. Dinan katavshil. If that's the case, it's paskin like it'd be paskin. It's like a tavshil. V'lachein sufganiyot hanasos mi'isaraka. If you have sufganiyos that are made from a blila raka, which is the pouring batter, right? Umetuganos b'shemen dinan katavshil, right? And it is then fried in oil, so those are like tavshil. Venira, so then he goes on and says, Venira, that feel isa shablilas ava. Why should it make a difference whether it's rak or ava? Even if it's a blila ava, uvishla utigna, and it's baked or it's cooked or it's fried, b'mashke, right? Velo afa b'tanor, and it's never baked in an oven. Yishla duna katavshil velo kapas. So we should pass that that's considered a tavshil, not pas. That's like shlakos. That's like something that's cooked and not baked. That's not considered pas. And that would have the luck of Bishul Akum. By the way, in Hilchos Brachos, would you ever wash on a donut? No. If you would wash on something that was totally fried or totally cooked, right, you would not wash on it even if you are Koveya Suda on it. So says the Chelkas Binyamin, that being the case, it loses its pas. And if that's the case, it would be subject to the luchos of Bishul Akum. So where does this come up? Right? I mean, obviously by donuts, but it's part of the Dunkin' Donuts Shaila. Right? So Dunkin' Donuts. So Entenmann's. Right, so Entenmann's Yes, Entenmann's are, I guess, they're donuts. I guess they're fried. I don't know. They seem like they're less fried than Dunkin' Donuts are. But Dunkin' Donuts are, so the places that kosher, the have kosher Dunkin' Donuts, you have to be machmer on this. In Rabbi Jachter, in his articles on Pasachim, they're available online. So he says that that Rav Teitz, who gives the hechsher to the Dunkin' Donuts at Tinek, is machmer on this, right? That they have the flame for the boiler. And then I meant to email a chaver of mine. There was, when I was in college, a friend of mine did this research into the Krispy Kreme. That was when the Krispy Kreme became popular, right? It came to the conclusion that it all comes from one source. That it all comes from one source, and all the kalim come from one source. Meaning, all the individual Krispy Kremes all over the place have to get all their stuff from one place, and they're not allowed to change the method at all. So he thought that they were all kosher. So I meant to, when I came across, I meant to send them an email today. Well, wait a second. What about the pasat? What about the bishlakum problems? Assuming they are fat free, so then you wouldn't be allowed to. This person claimed that you could go into any Krispy Kreme anywhere. At least this is 15 years ago. You go into any Krispy Kreme anywhere and just buy donuts because it's all coming from the same place. And if they mess up the system, so then they lose their license to sell Krispy Kreme, and it's a big disaster, right? So they wouldn't mess up the system. But if they're being deep fried, so then l'chora you would still have the problem of bishlach.
So in New Orleans they have something called beignets, and those are just like donuts. So I had someone from St. Louis the first time I went to New Orleans that he said that there's really nothing in it. It should be kosher. So that was like, but then 10 years later or 20 years later, I went back to New Orleans and they're under like Chabad Hashgacha. It's Cafe Du Monde. Now they're under.
See, they have two things. Number one, you have to worry about Dishalakum. And number two, you have to worry about who says what else they're putting in the deep fryer.
The only thing they served in these big donuts and coffee. That's it. And
right.
Powdered sugar.
So even that, I had this sort of, although it didn't even come to that here by Rita's, but in general, the soft pretzel things. So they have the soft pretzels. First of all, not all the soft pretzels are kosher. They have these cheese filled ones that aren't kosher, which is what the issue was over here. But can you just buy a soft pretzel, right? They'll show you the box. The box says OU, and they're just heated up in this thing. So I thought that was a problem because these workers could put their lunch in there also in order to warm things up. So I've never been a fan. I know some do that. Some just go and buy these hot pretzels. I don't think it's good kosher consumer practice. Yeah, the pretzels there are OU, but if they're cooking it in an oven, so who says what else they're putting in the oven when you're not? When you're not around.
There's those twirly things that they used to heat them.
Right, the things that are going around in circles. They can put their lunch in there also to warm up. So
of course, I bought directly from the company, the pretzel factory or whatever, City Pretzel Factory. Yeah.
Right, so, yeah. Well, if you buy the box that has a shkach on it, then you're buying a box with a shkach on it. But if you're, right, if you're going to the baseball game and they sell City Pretzel, right, so I don't think it's a good practice.
I have to say it's possible.
Pasnish, correct. Thank you. I'm surprised it took you 4 weeks to get up to that. Okay.
Actually, I'm going to say anything.